Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. Program note, Alex will be here in about 19 minutes to give you some locks. Him and Drew doing the show today from 10 to 2. Haven't seen Cody today, so I'd assume that it'll be those two. Big game for Drew tonight. Also tonight at 7 o'clock, Mac Morey takes the air solo with Julio Sanchez. And at 6 o'clock, Dane and Hughes will have the players-only show.
Love it.
So you're kind of set for the rest of the day, and I'd be a bad friend if I didn't tell you that Kenton Harrison and Rob Brenton will be on today from 2 to 6 mm-hmm. as well. So loaded show
packed.
Today. Yeah, Max packed downstairs right now for 7 o'clock. Tonight's game, no secret, right? It's Baltimore, it's Cincinnati. Baltimore's making their debut tonight with their new jerseys. That's going to have Bob have to duct tape it to his leg tonight.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, have you seen the helmet, folks?
So good.
His legs are crossed currently. But I do want to bring this up because, Mac, you've got an interesting take. Because we talked about this earlier today about who do you want to win this game? 913-586-7965. Baltimore, Cincinnati play. Who do you want to win and why? Mac, lead it off.
Well, at first I kind of agreed with Bob pretty vehemently, like, oh, I want Baltimore to win this game. Bye-bye, Cincinnati, right? And then I started to think about it. Well, because, you know, if Baltimore, you know, wins, okay, cool. They're still three games back. If they lose, cool, they're four games back. If they're three games back, now they'd be four games back. It doesn't matter. They're not going to get the one seed. Then I realized this game doesn't matter at all. Like, Chiefs fans want it to matter because both these teams are making the playoffs. Does not matter what tonight's going to happen. There's not seven better teams than Cincinnati. I looked at the rest of the standings. I've looked at some schedules. The Bengals are going to be in the playoffs. And we've just got to, as Chiefs fans, right now, right here, on a Thursday afternoon mm-hmm. before they play tonight, need to just know that that's what's going to happen here in 7 weeks. And tonight will not have any impending change on that result. Even if they lose, it does not matter.
I look at this as more of an elimination game than anything for Cincinnati. Like, I want to use the analogy that I gave earlier, Cincinnati is like a cockroach and they just won't go away until you crush them, step on them, you know, step on them again, step on them a third time, make that crunching sound that that cockroach makes and cut that head off. I don't like Cincinnati. Like I hate Cincinnati, quite frankly. I don't like their fans and I don't like their team and I don't like anything about them. I want to see them get eliminated. Plus, they scare the hell out of me. It's the only team that...
What was that again?
They scare the hell out of me.
Okay.
It's the only team in the AFC that I look at as real competition to the Chiefs. And so I don't want to see them in January. I want to see them eliminated. And every loss that they suffer, especially AFC losses, puts them one step closer to getting knocked out of the postseason. And I don't disagree with you, Mac. Like, it's not just the AFC. It's the entire NFL.
It's just not great.
You've got your top-heavy teams, and then you have ass. And there is a lot of ass in the NFL.
Soggy ass.
And it's soggy.
Yeah, I'm not into soggy ass. Give me...
What?
Give me the good over here and the ass over here. And I want Cincinnati in that ass category.
I agree.
You want him in that ass. So if Cincinnati doesn't lose tonight, I ask you this question. Do they lose again the rest of the season? Their schedule is as followed. At Los Angeles Chargers.
Loss.
Sunday Night Football, too. Yep. Fun game.
They flexed that to Sunday night, did they not?
They did.
I think they did, yeah.
Then it's their bye week.
Loss.
Then this is their next one, two. This is their next six. Steelers at home.
Loss.
At Dallas.
Loss.
I'm going to stop if you're just going to say every game's a loss. Tennessee there. Browns at home.
Oh, they'll be checked out by then, the Browns.
And then, which Burrow doesn't beat the Browns. And then they get the Broncos at home and then at Pittsburgh in week 18.
See, look, depending on what happens with the Broncos, that may be one of those games for that final playoff spot late in the season. And then Pittsburgh, obviously, is
that's the game I'm thinking could be the playoff spot. Like that could game could be one of these teams is in, the other one is out. They could both have the same record at the time.
Yeah, that would be cool to have that as your last game of the season.
Especially right? That December 1st game when they play each other for the first time. That has massive implications.
They haven't played yet, right?
No, they play December 1st and January 5th.
That's crazy.
It's kind of like the... No, I guess that wouldn't be the same because they're playing the Broncos now. But didn't we play at the Broncos and then played them again like 2 weeks later last year?
It was game, blank, and then game.
It was weird. Look, I mean,
nobody in the East is coming out of this thing, right? Like, are the Jets dead?
Not technically, but yes. They're what, 3-6?
They're 3-6. Like, any other team's 3-6, we're like, yeah, they're dead.
I mean, I want Cincy to win.
They're 4-5. They get back to 500. Yeah. They make that division wild and crazy if they win. But if they lose, they're 4-6, and they would be what then? In 1-2 in the division, 2-4 in the conference.
Right.
That's tough, man. But nobody's coming out of the South, really.
Exactly.
Because like, since he wins, there's a possibility that Baltimore could have some serious thoughts about if we make the playoffs. Baltimore would be 6-4.
You're not kidding.
Cincinnati would be 5-5. And if Baltimore is the most dangerous team in football, what's their narrative moving forward? What's your talent? You know what I mean? So Cincinnati really disrupts that division because I'll be honest with you, gun to my head, I will tell you right now, Pittsburgh's not winning that division. I'm sorry. They're not winning that division. They are 6-2 right now. I understand that. I don't see them winning this division. But if Pittsburgh loses, they go to 6-3. If Baltimore loses, they go to 6-4. And if Cincinnati wins, they go to 5-5. And you have a complete... Then they all beat up on each other.
What if Pittsburgh beats the Commanders this weekend? Are you changing your tune? No.
Yes, I would.
Okay.
I 1,000% would.
Like, if they beat the Commanders this weekend.
I
think they're going
on the road. You think they're going to win on the road?
Yes.
Oh, I will bet both of you guys whatever you want.
I'd love to. Let's do it.
Okay.
I already know the AFC playoff teams. I'll tell you them.
And then the Colts are the 8th team. The Bengals are the 9th team. The Jets at 3-6 are still the 10th team. It just shows you how, bad we are at the half season mark. Now, a lot can obviously change. We still have half a season to go for God's sakes in this whole thing. And it's probably I don't expect the Broncos to be a playoff team, but I kind of do expect the Chargers to be a playoff team right now. They're just, it really is. Because you're either in the playoffs or you're 2-7 in the AFC.
When the Chiefs beat the Broncos this week, the Broncos go to 5-5. If Cincinnati beats Baltimore tonight, they're 5-5. Boom. Cincinnati's right there in the playoff picture. That quick. That's how fun ass can be.
What about, though, the Colts? Who do they have this weekend? They got the Buffalo Bills.
They ain't winning that game. Unless you're like Maller and you think that Buffalo's looking ahead to the Kansas City.
Well, there is that.
But
though.
I don't think they are.
Who looks ahead more, the Chiefs to Buffalo or Buffalo to Kansas City?
Buffalo to Kansas
City. Absolutely. Sure. So I could see Buffalo... That guy in Indianapolis did get fan of the year for singing those songs. Like, they're fired up over there in Colts country.
This is our team. We bleed.
Hey, that guy just got Super Bowl tickets.
That's what I just said. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it, Mike. Hey, that guy, they just got that coach of the year, that player of the year guy. Yeah. Hey, did you see this?
Yeah. I don't like the name Mike. I'd rather you not call me that.
I've got the seven AFC playoff teams. You guys ready?
Yeah.
KC, Buffalo, Baltimore, Houston, Pittsburgh, Chargers, Cincinnati.
So you have basically everybody that's in right now, except you're replacing the Broncos with the Bengals.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Pittsburgh's not winning that division.
I agree.
They're not winning that division.
Who is?
I'd say Cincinnati. Baltimore.
Wow. Okay. You have Cincinnati winning the division?
Over Pittsburgh?
No. I just said, who's winning the division? You went Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Over Baltimore and Pittsburgh?
Because if they beat Baltimore tonight, they will win that division.
I think Baltimore's going to crush them tonight.
Maybe. I mean, I think the over is going to hit. I don't think Alex agrees with that.
That's fine.
I mean, I think that there's going to be a lot of points.
I mean, I think when you put on those fresh uniforms that Baltimore is going to be wearing tonight, you're home, you have a marching band, like, let's go.
Yeah. I mean, last Thursday night, the home team won. The better team lost, though.
If Baltimore whips Cincinnati, that will change my mind a little bit about Baltimore.
And what if they 41-10 the Bengals?
Like, yeah, that would be like, okay, that you're real.
That won't happen because Cincinnati's offense is better than Denver's, and Baltimore's defense is terrible.
Exactly. That's why I'd be extremely impressed. They would show more totality as a unit, as a team. Right now, they are one-sided as hell.
I mean, defensively, Cincinnati gives up 353 yards, 212 passing yards, 130 rushing yards, and they give up 25 points a game.
Jesus.
Baltimore, a mirror image of almost everything that is, they give up 377 yards a game. They are dead last in passing. They give up 280 passing yards a game, but they do not give up rushing yards. They only give up 75 rushing yards.
Yeah,
but they
give up beating them through the air.
Right. Yeah. They don't have to. You don't have to run against, against Baltimore. But also they give up the they're tied for 22nd most points allowed, giving up 24.3 a game. So I don't know.
I agree with you on the over. That screams over to me.
I think the last time they played, there were 70 points on the board.
It was low 40s and high 30s, like 37-42, something like that.
Who would you take as your quarterback right now, Lamar or Burrow?
Lamar Jackson.
I would too. Mac?
Yeah.
Lamar, right?
He's won two MVPs.
I think Lamar.
Burrow
wins in the playoffs once.
Yeah.
So he has that massive advantage.
Massive advantage. It is a massive advantage, but this is the regular season. Lamar's really good in the regular season.
But I don't think either quarterback is as successful as they are in the other system. Like, I don't think Lamar is as good in Cincinnati as he is in Baltimore. Likewise, I don't think Burrow is as good.
Well, you would hope both of those places wouldn't run the same thing. Like, if you get Joe Burrow in Baltimore, I think you have to scrap your entire offense.
Oh, yeah. Change your whole playbook.
Like, you don't get Derrick Henry if you have Joe Burrow in Baltimore.
No, it doesn't really work the same.
Right?
No, it doesn't work the same.
And if you have Lamar, then you're not worried about spending all this money on wide receivers maybe in Cincinnati.
Yeah, like, Ja'Marr Chase, will see you later. Yeah.
Right.
Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ Technologies, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Coming up on the other side, it's Goldilocks to get your best bets for Thursday night, Saturday, and Sunday as we move forward on this lovely Thursday morning. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan. Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. It's time for Golden Locks with Alex Gold.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this thing. It's simply too good.
Welcome back in to 96.5 The Fan. Fesco, Dusty, Gold, Mac. Four guys here to talk sports until the end of the 9 o'clock hour. Not just kidding. Three guys until the 9 o'clock hour. Then you've got your show. You and Drew today.
Yeah, Drew, Sean Barber's going to stop by in the noon hour today as well. We'll also have Dane and Hughes, a regular visit. But Cody will be back, I'm assuming, tomorrow with us. But we've got, Drew and I hanging out today for a couple hours. Plenty to get into, and including the Thursday night game. That's where we're going to start our show today.
Yeah, we did too.
It's a massive game, and both for Chiefs implications, betting implications as well. I mean, I don't know about you guys. The last two Thursday night games have actually been really entertaining anyway. I know last week we talked a ton about the Jets-Texans. Right. The week before was Rams-Vikings, which turned out to be a really good game. And then I think most people expect this one to be really competitive as well, where the Bengals are down to 5.5-point dogs. You know, last night on that betting show.
Which one?
That one, Bob. They were 6.5-point dogs. And I like Cincy when they were 6.5-point dogs. Now you're starting to get under six. You know, I can see Baltimore winning this thing by 6 points. So I actually think that's significant movement from the 6.5 last night.
So how are you betting tonight's game?
So I have Cincy plus 6.5 from last night. And then you mentioned this during the break an hour ago, in the bullpen session. Mm-hmm. The total, you like the total, but you like the over. You and I are on opposite ends for this one. Now it's gone down to 52.5. Mm-hmm. So for me, I hear you about the offenses, right? We know both teams have moved the ball. We know their defenses are not the same. This is a Thursday night game, though, and I do buy into the trend that when you get above 52 points, so we're talking about now 52.5, above that on Thursday night football since 2003, so this goes way back, unders are 14-5-1. 14-5-1 on unders when you get above 52 points. And we haven't had a game close at 53, which is what it was, since the Chiefs-Chargers game back in 2021 for a Thursday night game. So typically, even though these are high-powered offenses, and I think we'll see points, short week, Thursday night football, it would not surprise me if this one goes under. And by the way, even if it goes 52 points, You're still good. Like you're still good at that, and that's a high scoring football game. I just don't think it goes over 53.
Okay, so it doesn't go over. You're taking the under. You're taking Baltimore to win the football game, and then from like a Chiefs implication, we had the fun topic of who do you want to win?
Of
this
course,
game, right? I hate Cincinnati and I hate their fans.
So I don't. Yeah, I didn't catch that segment driving in, so I don't know what you guys said, but I don't want to. We're going to start our show with it, but I'll tell you now. I mean, I want Baltimore to win this football.
So
game.
Do I.
Barry Cincy. Be done with it. Put them out of their misery. Drew and I will have some fun with that.
He is my son.
Drew's a Cincy guy, so we'll have some fun, I'm sure, to start the show with that. But look, Baltimore is not going to get the number one seed. You guys agree with this. They're out of that conversation. We talked about the odds, I think, last week when I was in with you guys and where things stand. They're like 20-1 now to be a number one seed. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried about Baltimore winning. Like, they're going to be in the playoffs. They might win their division. They might be a wild card team. We'll see. Barry Cincy, just be done with it. So yes. I don't know why you would be rooting for Cincinnati to win tonight. Honestly, as a Chiefs fan, I really don't get it.
Yeah, I'm with you. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. I liken Cincinnati to a cockroach, right? You've got to stomp on them, crush them, destroy them, crunch them again, destroy them, crunch them a third time, destroy them a fourth time, and get rid of these people because I don't want them around in the playoffs because, like I said, they scare the hell out of me.
They scare you still, though?
Because it's the only quarterback that's ever beaten Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. I just don't want to face him anymore.
How long does that last?
Until he retires?
Or until you beat him in the playoffs again?
Is it that?
Because like, then it's enough is enough. Because then it's like, that's okay. They each have a win over each other.
He's just a cold-blooded quarterback.
So it's five, oh, he's so great.
He's 500. And you know since he's going to do their talking, and you know it's going to get Chiefs fans fired up, then he comes into Kansas City in the playoffs and there you cut the head off the monster and it's over. And then it's like, I don't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah, there's definitely truth to that.
That's better feeling to me than letting somebody else take out your trash.
I hear you. I guess for me, it's just the Bengals fans are still living off of the one AFC title game win, obviously, against Mahomes. And the stat, you just referenced it, Bob, other than Brady, Burrow's only had beaten Mahomes in the postseason.
Right.
And so I get that. But also there's part of me is like, Cincinnati fans, they're sitting there with four wins right now, and they still think if they get in the playoffs, they're winning multiple games. To me, it's delusion. And so I just want to end that. I'm sick of even having the conversation with Drew
with
about
Drew.
It.
Yeah. So it does factor in. No question.
Yeah. So just end it tonight, please.
Because Cincinnati, we talk about the script of the NFL all the time. This is the Cincinnati script. Stumble out of the gates, look really, really bad, and then turn it on and get into the playoffs and they do their thing. Like, Buffalo doesn't scare me in the playoffs. Baltimore doesn't scare me in the playoffs. And I guess it's just that PTSD from seeing the Bengals win that one game. Even though we've beaten them since and all that kind of stuff, you still have that PTSD. Like, you look at Joe Burrow and you're just like, that guy right there is lethal. He is deadly. He is a cold-blooded killer. I don't want to know him.
Yeah, no, I hear you. As far as the other thing with this game, I do think a prop bet that's interesting. Dusty, I know you're big into some of the individual props. Mark Andrews, without Isaiah Likely playing, and Cincinnati's defense has been one of the worst against tight ends, kind of like Kansas City.
Right.
That to me is an opportunity tonight to take a look at Mark Andrews, maybe an anytime touchdown, if not receiving yards for Andrews over under 42.5 yards. Like if you think the game's going over like you do, then I definitely think it's worth throwing a few bucks on Mark Andrews to get a touchdown.
Yeah, tonight. I can give you my parlay. It had to be five legs for the boost that I got on DraftKings.
Five legger.
Yeah, it's not crazy as you think. I have the over, obviously, and I have Baltimore winning. So that's essentially what it is. I have Derrick Henry anytime touchdown, right? That's simple. Zay Flowers 50+, Derrick Henry 80+.
I mean, Zay Flowers has been on a heater the last couple weeks. He's been sensational, even with Deontay Johnson in the mix there now. So, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
I can see that playing out for sure.
Mm-hmm. So, fortunate tonight, Kansas people can live bet this game at any point in the game. Fortunate for Missouri citizens, they will be able to do that sooner than maybe they later thought.
Yeah, it passed, guys. It passed very narrow. It actually keeps getting narrower and narrower. It's not going to flip the result, but some final votes are still coming in. It's going to be less than 4,500 votes that decided this thing. Think about that. Wow. 2.9 million votes for Amendment 2 in Missouri, and it's going to be decided, or it has been decided by 4,500 less votes. The opposition side that said they're not going to ask for a recount. That doesn't mean that some other party, anybody can, if you're willing to pay for it, millions of dollars for a recount.
Is that really what it costs?
I think it's millions of dollars for a recount when you're talking about this in a statewide election. Yeah.
That's why would you spend that money?
Right. And so I don't think we'll see a recount. So, all right, it needs to get certified still. That's December. And then when is it launched? That's the number one question everybody has. I was told early next year. The mayor was on with CDOT yesterday and said he thinks by the Super Bowl. I hope he's right. I think that's way too optimistic.
Yeah, he's been right on a lot of things.
I think that's way too optimistic for the Super Bowl. I was thinking more March Madness when I heard early 2025 from people. Definitely by football season next year, but yeah. maybe March Madness. The Super Bowl, it's just, to me, way too quick of a turnaround. Kansas had the fastest launch when we remember that happened 2 years ago. It was 70.
What did we pass that?
That was through the legislature, not a public vote. That was in May, and then I think the governor signed in end of May, and it was up and running 74 days later or whatever, Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, it was quick.
Nice.
It was, and that was really quick. That timeline that the mayor's talking about is quicker than that. That's why I'm a little hesitant to think that it's by February 9th is the Super Bowl, I think, this year in New Orleans. So we'll see, but it's definitely exciting that it's finally happened after all these states bordering Missouri had it done. Missouri's the 39th state now to pass it. And I think you'll see more apps in Missouri too. Like I was going to ask you,
do the apps translate over state lines? Like if you're driving around town, you end up in Missouri. Like does your Kansas app work, or will your Kansas app work in Missouri and vice versa?
So you won't have to have a separate, let's use FanDuel. You won't have to have a separate FanDuel account. But if you've ever bet in another state with the FanDuel app, you'll notice there's like a tab on your My Bets
Yeah, it page. Says you're out of the state now.
Or it'll say like when I was in Arizona for the Super Bowl a couple years ago, I bet there. So I have a tab that now forever, I guess, just says Kansas or Arizona bets.
Right.
So my guess is there will be a tab for when you're in Missouri. They will go under the same account, but it'll be listed under a different state.
Yeah.
And the usual players will be in Missouri, FanDuel, DraftKings, BetMGM, etc. There will be more after that. There's a potential that there won't be 19 of them, but there's a potential that you could have like 19 apps. I think you'll see some of the apps that are in Illinois, which is already bordering Missouri, obviously, that'll come over. And it's also a pretty favorable tax rate for the operators in Missouri with the 10%. So it wouldn't surprise me if you see like a Circa, who obviously has a casino in Vegas, but they also have an app. Circa or Hard Rock, Bet365 is another one. I'm missing Bet Rivers. Yeah, there you go. That was Bet Rivers is in Illinois and a few other states. I think you might see a few other ones that we haven't had on the Kansas side. But for the most part, it'll be the usual players.
Now, I don't know if this is a dumb question or not, but are there going to be like different ways to bet in Missouri? Like maybe some prop bets in Missouri that aren't available in Kansas and that kind of stuff.
So the opposite, there will be one thing that you won't be able to do in Missouri that you can do in Kansas. It's very specific. It won't impact
Smoke
most
weed?
People. Well, that's that as well. No, it'll be on Missouri, University of Missouri, player props. There's a stipulation in the ballot initiative that if you are wanting to bet on Missouri Tigers football or basketball game, you cannot bet on an individual player prop in the state of Missouri. Now, you just go across to Kansas if you're that dead set on betting a player prop for, you know, Brady Cook or whatever. Like when he won't be around by then, but you get the point.
Yeah.
So that'll be one specific thing, and that's just to protect the worry of having a 19-year-old kid, somebody reaching out to him and finding a way to scheme the system.
Like in Kansas, can you bet on like first coach fired or that kind of stuff?
No, so those are going to be
that in Missouri.
Those are going to be offshore stuff.
Still.
Yeah.
Okay.
My understanding is you can do MVP markets and everything, because believe it or not, in some states, I think it's Iowa is one of them, you can't even bet on MVP. Each state, every state is different. Heck, for a while in Illinois, and maybe it's still this way, you could not bet on any Illinois college. So like you could not bet on even the spread for the Fighting Illini.
Like Illinois Wesleyan was off the board?
They were off the board, but the Fighting Illini were off the board. Each state's different. My understanding in Missouri, it's just the player props for Missouri colleges.
Okay.
That you won't be able to do. Other than that, it shouldn't be much different than what we're used to seeing.
Okay, so pretty much all the same. That's good news for everybody, man. Let's go get this thing legalized nationally, and let's move forward as a country when it comes to sports gambling. Because what did you say, 39 now? That's like 11 stragglers, and one of them is California. For right away,
That's not to get too in the weeds. That one's very complicated with the tribal casinos, and that's the thing. That ballot initiative, they spent a ton of money, and it failed out there miserably. This in Missouri was the most money spent on a ballot initiative in state history. $41 million on the yes side between FanDuel and DraftKings and other parties, and then $14 million on the opposition side, I believe, was also a record.
Wow.
Caesars put $14 million on the no side. They pulled their TV ads about 3 weeks before the election. That's why this thing was so close, is because you had a lot of money coming in on the opposition side. And look, credit to both sides; they did a good job with their messaging.
Why did they pull their stuff 3 weeks?
I don't know the exact reason. I don't know if they are, if they're. Remember, Caesars is obviously an operator that's going to have an app and has casinos in Missouri. So I don't know if there was just a realization of where this was trending or not, but that that's why it was, everybody was asking, like, why was this so close? There's a, you know, one reason is there was a lot of money on the opposition side. Some just people have their own personal values and beliefs on gambling. Mm-hmm. The other would just be the confusion around the money aspect of where the money's going and the belief of, is it all going to education or not? This gray area, how much money is actually going to be generated? Because in year one,
what percentage of the people care about that?
Enough to make it this close, Bob. Yeah, right? Yeah. They had to run up the vote in the metropolitan areas. That's the only reason why this passed. I mean, you look at some of the numbers in, you know, St. Charles, out suburb of St. Louis, and St. Louis County, and obviously Jackson County and Clay County here on the Kansas City side.
Yeah.
They ran up the votes, and in rural areas they didn't. So kind of like it works for a lot of things.
Right.
So.
Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah.
Chiefs line has moved. I think it's now 7.5. It's a big number. It's a short week. It's a divisional game. It's at noon. I don't know why that kind of plays into the thing with me with that. It's at 12 o'clock. It's a noon game on Sunday. You like the points, or do you stay away from this because of what it is?
This is three straight weeks, guys, where I think it's another teaser. And and by the way, it's been the right call the last
couple
weeks. Tease it down, because we discussed this with the Raiders game. Mm-hmm. Hey, I didn't like the 8.5, 9 points. Tease it down. You would have lost your bet if you bet the Chiefs on the backdoor cover last week, even against Tampa.
Right.
That was a 8.5, 9 points. We said, hey, tease that down. Sure enough, if you didn't tease it, you would have lost your bet. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing here. I like that it's going down to 7.5, even better. Do yourself a 6-point teaser. That means the Chiefs -1.5 all of a sudden. Tease that. Pick another game. I think Baltimore is the other one I would tease with again. Tonight, tease them down. We all think Baltimore is winning, I believe, even though I told you Cincy, maybe you like them on the spread. Mm-hmm. Tease Baltimore down to, what would that be, a pick'em basically now.
Yeah.
With the Chiefs just to cover 1.5, and that's kind of a bet I really like. I'm not going to bet the Chiefs on the spread by themselves.
Which KU line do you like better, Iowa State or UNC?
Iowa State.
That's who they play this weekend in football.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was like, what? If you're talking about the KU basketball game and Iowa State.
Yeah, I'm talking about KU football versus Iowa State, that line.
Yeah.
Which Iowa State's massively favored. Or KU -7.5 versus UNC on Friday night.
For the KU hoops game, I'm betting that live. That is a live bet for me. So they're 7.5 pregame, right? Tip off.
It moves?
Yeah. So I want to see. We all know eventually the Allen Fieldhouse run. I kind of want UNC to get up early.
Yeah,
and I want to get KU live at like -3.
So it's like -3.5. Game.
Yeah, like yeah. Right. Yeah, I want to. Yeah. I mean, we all know the runs that happen at times at the Fieldhouse. So mm-hmm. Now, look, it may not happen. KU might just be in control throughout, and so be it. But I'm not betting KU this early on in the season. It's so early in college basketball. We don't have a good feel for any of these teams and where they're going to ultimately be. I don't think UNC has an answer for Hunter Dickinson, but I want to see if KU gets down. Let's say, even if it's like 10-2 UNC and all of a sudden KU's -5 live or something like that. That's how I'll be betting that. I'll be honest, KU football game, you might know the number more than I do. I have no clue what KU's favorite
by Iowa
State.
There's no reason to pay attention. They should give up the program. seriously, cash in, man. You're wasting your time and everybody's money. But the basketball thing is interesting because this is a big game. North Carolina, I don't think, has been to Allen Fieldhouse ever. But, like, why on a Friday night? Again, like,
is it TV purposes, you think?
Nobody watches on a Friday night, though.
I wonder, though, it's TV purposes, as in November, Saturday's full college football, the networks.
Sure. You got the NFL and all that, but why not have this game Tuesday Wednesday?
Well,
night?
I couldn't do Tuesday this year. No, it was election day.
But next week or the week, like you like a Friday night for a game of this magnitude, I think it's a terrible night. I do. I think Friday night is an awful night to have anything on TV because we're in the high school football playoffs, family activities, all that. Like nobody watches TV on Friday night except Binkley.
No, I mean, you're not wrong.
Right.
I think it's just an early season thing. And that's why. By the way, Iowa State is only 2.5-point favorites over KU.
Yeah, I just saw it on DraftKings. It's -3 Iowa State.
Yeah, they're not massive favorites.
Yeah, my bad. That
it's at Arrowhead.
Yeah.
You know, which means it's an epic atmosphere full of Iowa State fans on Saturday. You know how many Iowa State fans are going to be at this game?
That's going to be a quick turnaround for the field, too, with an Iowa State-Kansas game.
That's why part of the contract KU had with the Chiefs was like they would make every effort possible to have the game as early as possible in the day Saturday to give them time. And the kickoff is 2:30, so it wasn't as early. They didn't get the 11 a.m. kickoff, which is what the Chiefs wanted KU to have.
Yeah.
So they had more time to get the field ready for the noon game on Sunday.
Right. No doubt. Yeah, how do you think that, I mean, so ridiculous from a betting standpoint, a torn up field from the day before
guess
with the Jayhawk logo on it.
As long as Shakira's not playing, they're fine.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. Yeah.
my guess is the staff there. I bet you they have the field looking great. Yeah, I'm sure it's an NFL stadium, and the Chiefs are usually typically very, very good with their field conditions compared to they're not doing the green paint like they used to back in the Carl days.
But this is, I mean, you think about it. You had a Monday night game in the rain. Then you have a Saturday game in the rain. Mm-hmm. And then you have the Sunday noon game. Like, it's a slop fest out there.
Yeah.
Luckily, there's prayers up to the ground screw got to deal with that.
Yeah, have fun. Have fun with
sog.
That. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, we had this
little sog.
We had this conversation earlier. Do you eat Oreos?
I don't like them.
Never mind. All right. What do you got coming up on the show today? You got Paul Charchian?
Yeah, we'll talk some fantasy football with Paul Charchian. Dane and Hugh's going to join us in the noon hour. Sean Barber's going to stop by.
Nice.
But yeah, we'll start our show talking about Thursday night football and the implications. Drew and I, I'm sure it'll get heated at times talking Cincy.
Oh, I'm sure. One thing you do like is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
I'm back.
Did you see that they have a deconstructive Reese's Peanut Butter Cup?
Explain this. You put your own Reese's peanut butter cup together.
You put as much
Some Karen complained there wasn't enough peanut butter.
So you actually physically scoop in the peanut butter?
That's right.
And then what?
And then you eat it, I guess. But I don't know where the top is.
That's what I'm saying.
I think it comes with a shaved top.
What, you like put a lid on it? It's a Reese's lid?
You know it tastes different.
On it. That's the thing. There's no way that peanut butter tastes the same.
Of course not. Nobody wants
I'm down to try it. Where is this out in stores now?
Oh, you can't find it. You had to order it online.
It came out November 2nd.
What are they charging? $20 for
something
one cup?
Like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good on them, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So Charchi and Sean Barber, you and Drew,
and
a lot of hatred talk between you and Cincinnati people.
Probably. All right, man.
He hates it.
They're drug testing Saquon Barkley.
Really?
Right after the game, he got drug tested, because he said.
Normally they do that to you. Bobby Witt Jr. goes 4-for-4 with 2 home runs and a double.
Pee in the cup.
There's definitely a cup in his locker room on the other side. All right, so he's taking the under. I'm taking the over. We're both taking Baltimore. And then he says to tease the Chiefs points down.
Yeah.
I don't hate that. Teasers are fun. It's just easier to do when you have the ability
to
sit there.
Teasers at TGI Fridays.
What's the number one appetizer in the world? Or I guess that you could consider.
Wings?
Got to be there, or a Bloomin' Onion.
Or nachos?
Yeah, nachos are tough, though. I'd just rather have those as my meal.
Yeah,
as
long as they're not deconstructive. And wings, you kind of on that tweener. Like, give me more of an app.
Wings are fine because you can, like, get an individual one. Nachos, you got to, like, scoop it, put your hand on there. It gets a little funky.
Yeah, I'm taking those as entrees, though. Give me a real app. Come on, those are tweeners.
All right, I'm looking.
Edamame is a good appetizer.
Fried pickles.
The top appetizers in America.
Wings will be number one.
Yeah, like that's the one. It's
guaranteed to be the number
Buffalo
one.
Buffalo wings. Somebody put air fryer French fries. That's no.
What?
Okay.
What list is this?
Now, like, I just Googled it. This is coming from. This is why I hate AI. Right.
Uh-huh.
I Googled top appetizers. Number one appetizer in America: Buffalo chicken wings. Fine. Air fryer French fries. Out. Nachos.
It's an app. Yeah.
And then this one, of course, andouille sausage on croûte.
What?
Street tacos, deviled eggs, loaded potato skins, bruschetta, crab cake, sliders.
Somebody
other
says,
popular appetizers include caramelized onion dip, and then this one.
Caramelized onion dip?
Yeah. Will you ever make it like real onion dip instead of just using the packet of soup? You
I don't
like, caramelize
onion
your onion. Oh, onion dip's good. Hogs in a blanket.
That's pigs in a blanket.
Fried pickles with spicy mayonnaise.
Down.
Yes.
Brioche crab melts.
Of course.
Come on.
Brioche of the weekend. Fried mushrooms from Jack Stack from the 913.
Fried
fantastic.
Mushrooms are, yeah, that's a
They have a horseradish
one, right?
sauce that I would lick off Mac's body. And I'm comfortable with that.
I wish I could find like a listing of like the true number one appetizer. Like,
it's wings in
it
America.
Has to
it's
be,
definitely
right?
boneless or bone in wings.
Buffalo chicken dip.
It's a good one.
Spinach artichoke dip.
The sushi rice roll at the Bristol is really good, too, if you ever want to go there and get an appetizer. They put a little ahi tuna, little avocado chunk on there.
Hungry.
Getting hungry.
Baked ham and cheese sliders.
What about mozzarella sticks?
I have not seen that yet.
Where's mozzarella sticks?
That's Mount Rushmore, baby.
Where's edamame?
Edamame, less so. I still like edamame.
What about fried cheese stuff?
Oh, here's
like,
mozzarella sticks. They finally showed up.
Thank you.
I was going to say, come on, man.
Barbecue meatballs.
Ooh, I like a good meatball.
Yeah.
Candied bacon crackers.
Sure.
Sounds awesome.
Now, pizza monkey bread sounds really good.
Of course. Chips and salsa, chips and queso. Like, I will get weird over, like, a white cheese dip. I'll lick it off your finger.
Cheesy jalapeno corn dip is on this list.
Somebody just said beer.
Charcuterie. Binkley's texting
yeah.
in?
Yeah, beer. Jalapeno poppers.
Here's something about beer. That's the only appetizer you need.
What about spinach artichoke
dip? That's on there.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
A good one.
Thanks for listening, Mike. Mm. Gosh, dang it. I did it again. Son of a gun.
Soft pretzel bites with mustard and beer cheese sauce. Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah, give me the soft pretzel.
From the Landing in Liberty, where we'll be Saturday from 2 to 4 with Ben Maller. Not Bill Maller.
Bill Maller. We'll be there with Bill Nye, the science guy.
Deep fried ranch? What? Ooh, what? 54th Street's gringo dip. Again, Bob's Big. You guys love that over on the Missouri side.
Eastern Jack loves 54th Street dip. Grill. It is like a staple.
Dude.
Brother Ryan loved that place. Gringo, you love that place.
Gringo dip and waffle fries will make your toes curl through the floor.
If you're from Eastern Jack and you don't love 54th Street Grill, you got to move to Johnson County. Like, that's the rule. Like, everybody over there loves this 54th Street Grill.
It's fantastic. Rattlesnake pasta, waffle fries and gringo dip, leave me alone. I'll be asleep in 14 seconds. I do a lot of things quickly. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City Sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Sometimes I forget what I say. Top text 816, quote, "I do a lot of things quickly." Is that a line from your Tinder profile, Dusty?
No. Is Tinder still a thing?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't heard people talk about Tinder in a while.
Tinder is the night.
Yeah, it is.
Great song. Never heard of that one. Jackson Brown.
You know, there's no way Mac knows who Jackson Brown is.
Oh, man.
Never heard of him.
Running on Empty.
Yeah. One of the lawyers great, the Loadout, man. Like
Lawyers in Love. Doctor My Eyes.
Doctor My Eyes.
Did a lot of work for the Eagles.
Never heard of him.
A lot of work for the
Yeah, but is he the third running back for the Bengals? Because if it was, I'd know who that was.
No, but their starting running back right now is Chase Brown.
Khalil Herbert's gonna be really good for them, man. He's a great addition.
Okay, he's back.
Jackson Brown, one of the great musical artists ever. Mac's like, man, I don't know who that is.
Just not one of the greatest.
I'm just gonna start calling
ever.
You. I'm gonna start calling you Minnie Binkley.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
you are Minnie Binkley.
Oh, that's terrible.
You think Bink knows who Jackson Brown is?
Yes. You know, he was married to Daryl Hannah. She's a fox.
You think he knows who Daryl Hannah is?
Of course I do. Bob, one of my favorite movies is Grumpier Old Man, and she was in that movie, and she was Walter Matthau's best friend's wife.
I thought he was going to say Daryl Hannah was the Hannah and Hanna-Barbera. Mm. The cartoon, Captain Caveman and Son.
Yeah,
I could see that being Binkley's favorite show.
No. I think Binkley's favorite show was, Brockmire.
No.
Remember that show?
It was terrible.
He loved it.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. I liked the first season.
His favorite show was Coach.
Yeah. And his second favorite show is probably Eastbound and Down, which I think I'm going to start rewatching. Because Kenny Powers is absolutely hilarious.
Did you see John Rocker appeared back on social media the other day?
Of course he did.
Unbelievable.
Of course he did.
I'm back. Okay. I didn't know he was gone.
Impeccable timing. Weird. It is Broncos week, by the way.
Minnie Binkley.
I think I hate the Broncos more than any team in football.
That's my division hate right now. That's like the fans in Cincinnati, so it lends to it. But like from division hate, it's the Broncos. It ain't even close.
My whole life, the Broncos always beat the Chiefs. Like always beat the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid and getting into sports was about 97. That's when I started to kind of follow it and watch it.
Put you about 10?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, right
about,
at 10.
Yeah. It's
and, you know, that's that Chiefs were 14-2 that year. Denver came in to Arrowhead, beat them, went on to win the Super Bowl, would win the Super Bowl again the next year, right? John Elway, never a fan, probably one of the most overrated quarterbacks of all time. And
he's been to 4 Super Bowls and won 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Four, not 5, right?
Mm-hmm. 4, yeah. Yeah, I would say that his numbers and Troy Aikman numbers reflect each other, except for the rushing yards.
Elway could run, though, bro.
Like, that's fine.
It was incredible.
I'd rather have Randall Cunningham than John Elway.
No, I'm going with John Elway. Randall was a fun quarterback to watch.
I'd rather have Warren Moon than John Elway.
Oh, I would, too. Warren's my guy.
But Denver then, like, as my life progressed, right, like, Denver's also known for beating the Chiefs in one of the worst football game I've ever seen live, which was Tim Tebow came to Kansas City And I think he hit like Wes Welker.
There was one catch all day.
And it was like a total of like 200 yards on the entire day.
It was awful. Yeah,
it was the worst football game I've ever been to.
Was that a Todd Haley game?
Had to have been, right? It was terrible. Oh. I don't know the year, but I was there. And I remember just being so embarrassed to have said that I was at that game. And then obviously Denver gets Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning comes in here and just absolutely runs the division for 5 years. And now it's awesome because all those years of watching that, and that's why I think it's awesome when you hear people say, oh, how long have you been a Chiefs fan? It must be nice. I'm telling you how long, right? I'm letting you know it's almost been 30 years. And for those 30 years, for about 24 of them, the Broncos were always beating the Chiefs, and it was never fun. And it was Elway, then it was Plummer, then it was like Kyle Orton for a little bit, then it was Jay Cutler, then it was Peyton Manning, and it was like, can we just have our fun in the sun? And now Patrick Mahomes is absolutely flipped the script as he is 12-1 versus those Broncos. His only loss last year in Denver with the flu and the foreshadowing.
Does that really count?
Yeah, it's a loss. Hey. And the foreshadowing of all of it was Patrick Mahomes' first start ever was the arrival in Denver where he started, then sat, and then came back and beat him and made Albert Wilson a very rich man.
He did. And you know, Patrick Mahomes, obviously, in that game was phenomenal to come back in. That should have been the sign we all needed. Like, okay,
this is something different. He turned here, no-hands Harris into hands Harris.
Yeah, he did.
Literally, like, he made him grow hands.
Right. It was wild. But anyway, but Denver was always that team that Kansas City couldn't beat, whether it was John Elway or whether it was the Vermeil era, and he just flat out admitted, we can't win in Denver, and then it was Peyton Manning. It was like, they owned the Chiefs for such a long period of time, and those games sucked to lose those games to Denver year after year. Like, you'd look at the schedule before the year, like, well, they're going to lose both to Denver, so that's 0-2, and you know, whatnot. So it's good to have this shoe on the other foot, but you know, like this is the rival for me in the AFC West. I'm not old enough to remember Otis Sistrunk punching somebody on the Chiefs. Like, I don't know anything about that. I don't remember those days, but I do remember Marty and Carl and obviously Lamar, how much they hated the Raiders. And so it infested the organization. Mm-hmm. But this is different with Denver because the Oakland Raiders just haven't been relevant in 25 years. Save that one Super Bowl season. Mm-hmm. That's it. They have not been a relevant franchise. Denver's been a relevant franchise. They've been going toe-to-toe with us for a very long time now, most of the time beating us up until Patrick Mahomes got here. So Denver, to me, is the big rival. I think when you start to look at who the biggest rival is right now for the for the team in the West, it's generational. Old people, no offense to the elderly crowd out there that's been around longer than us, but they'll say the Raiders, and they won't hesitate. And guys in our generation will probably say the Denver Broncos because we remember John Elway. We remember the Broncos beating us. We remember losing every year when Dick Vermeil was the coach. We remember losing to Peyton Manning. And now we got it back, and it feels pretty good to be on top of the world looking down at the Denver Broncos finally.
The game that I was referencing from the 816 let us know Tim Tebow completed two passes that day to Eric Decker and they beat us. I was there, dude. It was terrible.
It was awful.
And I think the one pass he did complete, he like play action faked, went way over the top. He hit him and he scored and it was like, all right, I'm done with this.
It was bizarre. That was a weird one, man.
So when was Elway in the, or when was Tebow in the league? Was that like,
for a hot minute.
Was that like 12 and 13? Was that that era?
Yeah, it would have been like before
10,
Johnny.
11, probably.
Before Johnny Manziel, so yeah, probably 2010.
Yeah.
How many playoff wins does Lamar Jackson have? Two?
Yeah, I think two.
So he has one more than Tim Tebow?
One more than Tim Tebow, yeah. Who has more receiving touchdowns this year, Tyreek Hill or Bo Nix?
They're tied.
Yeah, with one.
Yeah, that was the...
There's a story out today on FoxSports.com, the decline of Tyreek Hill. What does this mean for this year and moving forward for the Dolphins? I told you
he's a very smart man.
He's a Jag.
Means he's a very smart man to demand more money because he got it.
Yep.
And now, you know what that is? Maybe Tyreek Hill's that guy, that ace in baseball that had a really damn good year. And all of a sudden he gets his option picked up and now all of a sudden he can't do that same performance. And it's like, well, we're locked in because we paid him all this money.
Yep.
How you doing, Garrett Cole? I don't know if it's fallen off yet, but he's at that pivotal point.
I think he's fallen off. What did he have? 230 yards or something like that going into last week's game, right? And then he had 80 yards and no touchdowns.
I will give him this as an excuse. His season this year with his team around him has been inconsistent.
It really has, but DeAndre Hopkins has more touchdowns as a Chief than Tyreek Hill does this year.
He's, because he got to consistency.
Mm-hmm.
He's been with the Chiefs for 2 weeks.
But Tyreek Hill is supposed to be this number one player in the NFL. Make your team better, bro.
If Tyreek Hill was the number one wide receiver in Kansas City for 2 weeks, he'd have four touchdowns.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, no, maybe he'd, so. He'd have at least three.
But touchdowns. If you're ranked as the number one player in the league, you got to make your team better. He's not doing that right now.
Yeah, you give Justin Jefferson.
That's why you don't vote a wide receiver number one player in the league. You just don't. It's a quarterback. And it's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's obvious. I mean, they just wanted to make some sort of talking point for for the entire NFL season.
Because if they voted Patrick Mahomes as the number one player, who's talking about? Oh, yeah, of course, Patrick Mahomes. You make Tyreek Hill the number one player. You got to back that up.
Is Tyreek Hill still a top three wide receiver in the NFL? Because what, it's Jefferson?
Mini Bank, what do you think?
Is it Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb as the top two?
We've got to put a stop to that right now. Jettas, Nico, and Tyreek Hill come
to
mind.
Nico's the top three?
I said that by week three. I made that take. Yeah, Nico Collins.
I would say my top three wide receivers in the NFL are Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, that's good.
And I would not sleep on A.J. Brown.
Yep, that's another good one. Yep, I had Nico. I'd have Nico right there with those guys, man.
He going to be back this week?
He will.
Supposed to be.
Supposed to be. Gosh, they need
him
to be back.
Was he supposed to be back last week? Though?
No, because he had to miss 4 weeks. Last week was
the fourth week.
Because he was on IR.
I mean, I think they got Detroit this week, and they need Nico Collins.
No, that's the bet. That game and Washington and it's Washington and Pittsburgh.
And Pittsburgh, yeah.
Right? That game's big. That's probably the game of the week.
Is that a 3 o'clock game, I hope?
Which I heard a number yesterday on Colin Cowherd's show. Mike Tomlin is 27-4 versus rookie quarterbacks.
Boo!
So that doesn't spice that game up a little bit.
I tell you, I love him so much. He's so good.
God. You love him so much, why don't you marry him?
All right.
I'm Dusty Likens. That's Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. As I tell you every day, please take in consideration to go do something nice for somebody because you never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It is simply cool to care. Coming up on the other side, it's Alex Gold and Drew Nixon without Cody Tapp here on 96.5 The Fan. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind. Love you, and talk to you tomorrow on a Red Friday.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.